16 again. Genesis 16. I have entitled this message, as I said, Abram's Sin and God's Grace. We're going to see a picture of Christ right in the middle, right in the midst of the mess that Abraham made. He made a mess. There's a message in the mess. A message. We will deal with the story of Abram and Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac. We'll deal with that a little more fully when we get to chapter 21, because chapter 21 deals with that more fully, and that's when the bondwoman is cast out with her son. We'll deal with that a little more fully when we get to it. I'll make reference to it. Abram and Sarah, like all men and women, make a mess out of things when they do not wait on the Lord, when they do not seek the Lord's will, but take matters into their own hands. When we resort to carnal reasoning rather than God's will and God's word, we end up in sin and in trouble every time, without fail. Abram was a man, just like all men, but God saves men for His glory. And after He saves men and women, they become the best that men and women can be, which is still not much. Abram is called the father of the faithful. But how faithful was he? He was so unfaithful. We've already seen that, haven't we? I've commented before how that if the average preacher were taking this passage as well as others, chapter 14 and chapter 12, they would be bragging on Abram, his faith. But we're not here to brag on men. Abram was a failure. He had a few successes, but mostly failures. He showed himself faithful a few times, but very few. Isn't that right? And those of you who've been with us in this study and have read, even just read with us, there's only one truly faithful man that ever lived. There's only one man who ever lived who could say, I do always those things which please my Heavenly Father. Always. I'm faithful in everything. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God-man. The only one that's ever been able to say that. You see, we're not here to brag on men. We're here to brag on the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. We're not here to talk about man's faithfulness, because great is His faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Small is ours. Even the Father, even the fellow who's called the Father of the faithful, his faith was so small. Now, Abram is a picture of man and his inconsistencies. Man is such an unstable creature. He's so up and down, isn't he? Consider yourself. Aren't you that way? Up one day and down the next? solid one day and tossed to and fro the next? Huh? Faith is an anchor that holds on to something unmovable. And that's what's going to keep you from being broken asunder. Christ is that rock. Faith is the anchor that holds to Him. But man is such a picture. Abram here is a picture of man in all his inconsistencies. He's faithful in some things, but very unfaithful in others. He's courageous in some areas. Here, Abram went down with a handful of fellows and took on several mighty kings and all of their armies. Going to rescue Lot. We'll show them. Well, here he walks into town with his wife. She has to be a real pretty woman. And he's shaking like a leaf. And asks her to save his neck. And says she's his sister. Man's so unstable, isn't he? Strong in some areas and weak in others. You know, I thought about this. The man or the woman who is most like Christ is the most stable person. You can count on that. The person you can count on the most is the person most like Christ. Most stable and consistent man or woman is that one who is like Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And the man who has grown up in Him and all things, he's pretty much pretty stable like that, pretty consistent. I know a few. Now here's the story. I look back at chapter 16. Here's the story, and let's briefly look at man and his sin and a picture of God's grace in Christ here in this story. Verse 1 and 2. Let's read these together. Now, Sarai, and that's how you pronounce her name here. It's not Sarah. It changes to Sarah later. God changes it. But here it means it's Sarai. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, servant, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, didn't ask, but she said unto Abram, behold now, listen up here. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram, listen. Sarai. Now, this was Abram's first mistake. He hearkened unto his wife instead of being the spiritual leader, instead of being strong in faith, instead of following God's word and God's will as he should have. This was his first mistake. And this is where man's sin started in the beginning, wasn't it? This is where it all started. It started in the garden. Man, and we inherited man's sin, not Eve's, Adam. Instead of Adam following God's clear word and instruction, he listened to somebody else. He heeded the woman. That's what God said there in Genesis 3, because thou hast hearkened unto thy wife. You didn't listen to me. You chose what she said over me. Because Adam hearkened unto Eve, and here Abram hearkens unto Sarai, they fall into a mess. I mean, this is going to be the biggest trouble that Abram... If, you know the story. This thing caused and is causing God's people, Israel, God's spiritual people, a mess ever since the beginning. And this really caused problem. And it caused trouble between this man and his wife. Now, although the woman is to blame here, this was Sarai's doing, wasn't it? It was her idea. Although the woman is to blame, hers is not the greater fault here. Just like God didn't charge Eve with man's sin, but Adam. If the man were a man, if Adam had been a man, if Abram had been a man, he would have led and not followed. He would have instructed his household. He would have been the leader instead of the follower. Right? That reminds me of a story. I have a dear pastor friend who was selling his home. And they were asking a certain price for it, which was they both agreed to a price, and asking a certain price for it. And someone came along and offered, the price was, I think, $69,000, like that, something like that. And a fellow came along and offered to write them a check immediately for, I think it was like $66,000 or $67,000. The man said, "We'll take it." The woman said, "Wait a minute." She said, "Come back here, I want to talk to you." They went back and she said, "No, no, no." He said, "Yes." She said, "No." And finally he hearkened to his wife. You know what they ended up selling their house for? About $64,000. Now here's the story. After it was all over, the man started telling his wife, started blaming her. He said, see, if you'd have listened to me, we wouldn't have lost all this money. We'd have made more money. She said, if you'd have been a real man, you wouldn't have listened to me. If you'd have been any man at all, you'd have set your foot down. So he blamed her, she blamed him. And that's exactly what happened here between Sarai and Abram. But the consequences were much greater than just a few thousand dollars. And I withheld the names to protect. I think I've told that before, and I think you know what I'm talking about. There are exceptions in every case, of course, between men and women. Manoah is an exception. He and his wife, and I'd love to preach on that sometime. I haven't yet. Manoah was a pitiful fellow, and his wife was had some faith. And she had to instruct him. Well, that happens. There are exceptions. But the fact is, if a man were a man, as he should be, and study God's word and heed it and follow it, rule his home by it, things would go a lot smoother, a lot better. That's a fact. That is fact. Verse 3. And so Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land, and gave her to her husband to be a wife. Abram was tempted by his own wife. This is unthinkable. This whole situation is just like what Abram did to Sarah. You say you're my sister, and he gave her into the hands of whoever wanted her. Here, this woman gets this and gives them. This is just unthinkable. You see what things happen? You see, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the revealed will of God in all these areas and things of marriage and all that. We have such an advantage over, and before we fault them too much, they didn't have what we have to go by. We are without excuse. They were. They sure were. But they didn't have this instruction booklet. And at any rate, and this is what men and women do when they do not consult the Word of God. When the Word of God is not first and foremost in the lives and homes and families of men and women, anything might happen. Right? Anything goes. And this is what is going on here. And she gives it, and I thought about this. You know, a man's enemies can sometimes be those of his own household. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 10. And this Sarah here is tempting him, and I know who's behind it. This is not flesh and blood that Abram's dealing with, somebody else. Just like Adam. Just like Peter. You remember Peter, the Lord's best friend? How that one of the Lord's best friends, how that he rebuked the Lord one time? You remember that? The Lord was going to Jerusalem, and Peter said, "No, Lord, don't do that. Don't do that now. You're not, don't go. They're going to kill you there. Don't. Let's not go to Jerusalem. Rebuke the Lord. This fish man hasn't been around for 3 years. Fisherman, what's he know?" You remember what the Lord turned and said to him? "Get behind." He didn't say, "Peter." He didn't say, "Peter, don't say, get behind me, Satan." And Abram was being tempted by somebody else here. Abram, being a man, succumbed to this strong temptation. Can you imagine? He had his wife's permission. I'm not making light of this. It's just what happened. His wife said, "Take her." Being a man that he was, he, all right. Being a weak man that he was. Now, both of these people represent believers. Abram and Sarai were believers. Both of them represent believers who do not wait on the Lord. But in covetousness and in sensual pleasure, they resort to carnal reasoning, and both of them sin, and both of them bear the trouble that it brings. Both of them. They're both to blame. They're both to blame. And as I said, both of these people represent anyone. This whole story, really, to a degree, represents anyone who goes about to establish their own righteousness in order to be saved, instead of believing and trusting God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of Promise. This whole picture, that's what it is. God had promised your seed. The covenant is with your seed, Abram, your seed. And Abram resorted to carnal reasoning, and so did his wife, and they both said, "Well, God hadn't given us a seed. Let's do what we can. Let's help him out a little bit." That's man in his own works trying to establish a righteousness. That's what this is a picture of. But like I said, we're going to deal with that a little more fully in chapter 21. Now, here's a typical scene here. Look at verse 4 through 6. Read on with me. "So Abram went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that," or when Hagar saw that she was pregnant, "her mistress, Sarai, because she was barren, was despised in her eyes." She looked down on her. "Yeah, you can't have children. I can." She looked down on her. "And Sarai said unto Abram," when Sarai saw that Hagar was acting like this and she conceived, and then Sarai got jealous, and realized what had happened. And look at verse 5. She says, "My wrong be upon thee." She's blaming Abraham. Abram. She's blaming Abram. This is a typical scene, isn't it? We justify our own sin by blaming the other person. Instead of taking the blame, "Well, I'm wrong. I did wrong. If I hadn't done this, you wouldn't have done." Instead of doing that, you say, "Well, if you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this." Right? That's such a typical scene here between a man and his wife. Justify our own sin and blame everybody else. So typical. And things end up getting real ugly. Read on. "And she said, the Lord judge between me and thee." Lord judge. Here she got real spiritual. Stand. She's quoting scripture. You got in an argument. "Well, it's your fault. The Lord judge between me and thee." Ain't neither one of you worth 2 cents. You're both wrong. You both acted like fools. Verse 6. "Abram said unto Sarah," now here's this wimp again. "Faithful Abram." She's a wimp. "Honey, you take her, you do what you want." That's what he's saying here. You take her, Go on, do what you want, sir. It's in your hands. He should have took... See, he got in this mess by not taking the upper hand, and now he said, well, do what you feel right. She's not going to do right. And she dealt hurriedly with this woman. Hagar's the one that seemed to be an innocent party at all. Huh? She's just standing by. And this man, this woman, conjured it all up. Now, Abram, like I said, Abram was a wimp and a wicked man here. That describes him. A wimp and a wicked man. He shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have listened to his wife. He shouldn't have gone into that woman. Bad enough to listen to her. He shouldn't have gone into that woman. He knew better than that. Didn't he? He knew better than that. Sarai was so consumed with her home and family. So consumed with having a home and a family, she resorted to any means to have it. Now this, like I said, this man and this woman are both to blame for the sin that followed. But listen to this, though. Let me, and I'm giving some, and everyone here has already entered into what's happened. Every married couple, anyway, has already related to everything I've said thus far in some way, haven't you? Or that wimp, or that woman. And they're both in a mess. It's both their fault. Though Sarai, saw Abram at his worst. She saw him at his worst. I don't think Sarai had an ounce of respect for him. A man that would save his own neck and risk his wife. Say you're my sister. I don't think there's any man in here, I don't care how weak he is, that would do that. Maybe you would. Maybe you would if your head was on the line. Skin for skin, you know. I don't believe Sarah had an ounce of respect for him. What kind of man would do that? You know, she lost respect for him, but she should have remembered his best of times. He did pick his home and family up and leave, didn't he? I bet she protested. Honey, no, we leave her. We're going. Where? I don't know, but God said go, let's go. She should have remembered that. He should have showed great faith there. Should have remembered when he went down to save Lot. Where are you going, honey? We're going after these kings. They've got my nephew. How many are there? 15,000. Well, how many men you got? 300. Honey, don't go. I'm going to get my son. I love him. I'm going to get him. I want to rescue him. Don't go. I'm leaving. She should have remembered that. Shouldn't she? She didn't. Does that strike a chord? Huh? Does that strike a chord? No, she just remembered the worst. Didn't remember the best. She should have remembered his best and followed him at any rate. You know, it turned out all right. And though Abram knew Sarai's weakness in faith, this woman was a weak woman in faith. Very weak. This incident shows me that. Later on, when the Lord came, it appeared in a miraculous vision, she laughed. You and I were talking about that, weren't we? She laughed. She didn't believe. She laughed. She was weak in faith. Abram should have remembered that her times of faithfulness to him. She saved his neck. She said, okay, I'll be your sister. Just this one time. She ended up doing it twice. Saved that old boy's neck. How many times has Sherry saved you? Mine's got me out of a mess or two. Sure had. Abram should have understood her childless plight. She didn't have children, and this was a terrible trial to her. And he sure should have reassured her, honey, I understand how you're feeling here. I understand what you're going through. But God has promised. Let's believe God. I do. Let's just wait now. No, honey, I gotta have. Wait. I say, on the Lord. And everything would have been fine. He should have remembered her plight. But they're men. They're a man and they're a woman, aren't they? And they sin. And here's the terrible results of it. And it haunted them and troubled him. Now here's the picture of Christ in it all. All right? You still with me? Like Adam and Eve before them, and as with all of their posterity, this man and this woman fall into sin and shame. They don't heed the Lord's word. They don't wait on the Lord. They don't seek His will, His way. They resort to carnal reasoning. They try to fulfill their own lusts, and they justify what they've done in order to fulfill their own lusts. They go their own way, a way that seems right to them, but it's a bad way. And they plunge themselves into sin and misery. That's man, isn't it? That's every one of us. Every one of us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loves His people, even Abram and Sarai. And according to His purpose, His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, the seed that's coming, God had mercy on these two sinful, wicked people. And that's what they were, weren't they? Weren't they? They were acting bad, weren't they? But God deals mercifully with them. They sin terribly, but God deals mercifully with them. Have you ever heard of a worse situation between a husband and a wife? Have you ever heard of such bickering? So yeah, last week. No, seriously. Isn't this a bad situation? They're not behaving like believers here, are they? God's people. And if I came into your house, maybe at time, maybe you'd think, God's people don't behave like that, don't act like that. Yeah, that's the way that men and women do at times. Sinners do that. It's bad. There's nothing right about it, and they ought not. But that's the way they do, sad to say. But God. Abram sinned. But God. Oh, Sarah sinned. But God. What a mess they got in. But what a message in the mess. But God. Look at verse 7. Look at it. Here it is. Here's the picture. Do you see it? So Hagar... Sarah dealt hardly with Hagar, and she fled. Hagar left, ran away from her face. In verse 7, it says, "And the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a fountain of water in the wilderness." By the fountain in the way to Shur. The angel of the Lord found this woman by a well of water. Ring a bell. Who is this angel of the Lord here? Who is this here? Look down at verse 13. It says that Hagar called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me." An angel of the Lord is called that because God's spirit, and in order for him to appear to a man or a woman, he had to take a body, didn't he? The Lord appeared in a body.
A.W. Pink
says it's a theophanic appearance. What's that? It just means that God was manifest in the flesh. That's what it means. God became an angel. God took a body to talk to this woman. Does that ring a bell? I'm trying to ring the bell. This woman was talking to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Him, the Scripture says, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, where? Bodily. That's the reason I believe that every bodily appearance of God in the Scriptures is Jesus Christ. Christ said, "No man hath seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." How much, Lord? From the beginning. Walking in the garden, the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden. On and on the picture goes. Christ comes. Christ comes. Doesn't it? He keeps coming. Abram just talked to him. Not long before that. That priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Oh yeah, Abram rejoiced to see Christ day. He saw it. He saw it several times. He saw him. He saw Christ. Over in chapter 18 of Genesis, he sees him again. Three men came to Abram. One of them was the Lord. One of them was the Lord in a body. Over in chapter 32, a man wrestled with Jacob. Who's the man? Well, Jacob named the place Bethuel, face of God. I've seen the face of God in a man. This is the Lord Jesus Christ here. An angel of the Lord came to this sinful woman, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, another bodily appearance, came to this sinful woman, and of all places, he comes to meet this fallen woman at a well of water. You see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, 2,000 years ago, today, and forever. Same Lord that appeared to that sinful fallen woman at a well of water years ago appeared later on the earth at another woman at a well. Woman, it's me. It's me again. A fountain of water. A fountain of water. You see, Christ is the angel of God's mercy, isn't it? Jesus Christ is the angel of God's mercy. Christ is the fountain filled with blood. It's drawn from Emmanuel's veins where sinners plunge and beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. She was at a fountain. Christ is the fountain. A fountain of water. Christ is the water. The water of life. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. If any man take a drink of this water, he'll never thirst again. Woman, where's your husband? He could ask her that, John. Where's your husband? She said, I had no husband. That'd be familiar, wouldn't it? This rejoices my heart to see Christ. He's the same yesterday. This is proof, people. It's another nail in a sure place. It's another nail, another proof that Jesus Christ is. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ shall have everlasting life. He is. Here's to this fallen woman. Look at verse 8. He said unto Hagar, Sarai's maid, where'd you come from? Where are you going? She said, I'm running. I'm hiding. Does that sound familiar? Where are you been? Where art thou? Where are you going? Oh, boy. Look at verse 9. The angel of the Lord said unto her, come unto me. Return to thy mistress. Submit thyself unto her hands. Return. Submit. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. It shall not be numbered for multitude. And you know, the Lord says the same thing to all of his sinful children. Same thing. He says this, first thing when he appears to us, he says, where have you been? Where art thou? Where'd you come from? Huh? Where are you going? Look at you. You're a sinner, aren't you? That's the first thing the Lord comes and appears. That he exposed that woman at the well. He exposed her sin to her. And she knew it. And she acknowledged it. Where you been? Where are you going? Adam, where art thou? I was afraid. I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of it? Oh, I'm a sinner, Lord. I am. Consider thy way. See what it says there? Verse 8, consider thy way. Whence comest thou? Where are you going? Where are you going? What's your way? What way would you go? Consider thy way. Return then to thy mistress. Submit yourselves and I will multiply. Consider, return, submit and I will multiply. And the Lord says the same thing to all his sinful children. Consider where you came from. Huh? And you who were dead in trespasses and sin. Consider the pit from which you were dug, Henry. Consider it, Erlang. Don't forget where God found you and rise above that. Where are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? Where are you going? If you go your own way, you're going to fall just like you were in the beginning. Huh? Return. Submit. Commit. Submit. I will. See all that? Consider where you came from, where you're going. Return unto me, the Lord says. I'll give you rest. In returning, thou wilt find rest, he said in Isaiah. Submit. Submit, sinner. Cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. Cast all your... Submit thy way unto me, the Lord said. Psalm 37 says, commit thy way unto him. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I'll multiply the blessings. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. You're running now, aren't you? Huh? You're afraid? Come unto me, Christ said. You're a sinner, you've fallen. Come unto me, Christ said, I'll give you rest. Freedom from guilt, because I put away your sin by my blood. Freedom from shame, I've given you acceptance with God through my righteousness. Freedom from the penalty of the law, I've satisfied that. I've satisfied justice. Return, I'll multiply the blessing. Come unto me. Return to the Lord that made you. Verse 11. When the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. Thou art with child. And shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name, God shall hear, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. You see Jesus Christ in all of this, huh? It's another glorious picture. All this speaks of, here the Lord comes to a woman with child. A woman with child because of a man's sin. The angel appears to her and names him. Called his name, Ishmael. God shall hear. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, appeared to Mary and said, you're with child. That holy thing that is in you shall be called the Son of God. Call his name, God shall hear. You never thought Ishmael was a type of Christ, did you? He is, because Christ is all. And you know, even the wrath of man shall praise him. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us, because the Lord hath heard your affliction. But God shall hear. God hath heard your affliction. Therefore, he's given you a son. Given his son. Isn't that a picture of Christ? Read on. Now, here's a picture, people, a prophecy. Verse 12 is a prophecy of the Arabic nations. Verse 12, Ishmael, you know that all the Arabic nations, they claim Abram as their father. And he is. Ishmael, they claim as being the chosen son. Did you know that? Saudi Arabia and Egypt and all the Arabic nations that all around Israel, that all the Arabic nations claim Abram as their father. You know that Mecca, that shrine, that's Abram was over there. And Ishmael, they claim Ishmael. Well, this is a prophecy of all that. Look at verse 12. It says, he'll be a wild man. The sons of Ishmael are wild men, aren't they? Islamic people, if this tape gets out, they may come to me. Come at me, but it's true. They're wild people. Wild people. His hand, look at verse 12, will be against every man. They're against everybody, aren't they? They're everybody's enemies. Iran, in Iraq, ain't nobody likes them. Well, they're just talking about them as a whole. I know there are exceptions, and probably fairly decent people, like, as far as decent people go.
But this is a prophecy here. You see that, Henry? It's clear, isn't it? It'd be a wild man against every, and every man's hand against him. And he should, the whole world was had to intervene over there in that little country in the Middle East, didn't it? Had to come against this one madman. So Saddam, who's mad, who's is insane. That's what they nicknamed it. And it's, look at it, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Right in the middle of everywhere. In the midst of the Israelites are right there in the midst of them and so forth. This is a prophecy of all that. Clear prophecy. Another proof of God's infallible word, isn't it? All right. Verse 13 says that, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. She was speaking to Christ. And she called it, and he didn't tell her his name. So she came up with this, Thou God seest me. Well, that's a good name. That's good. That'll do. Why did you call him that, Hagar? Because I looked unto him, and I've been saved. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Thou God seest me. Thou God lookest upon me, and I've looked upon you, and I've been saved. You've looked upon me in mercy, and I've looked to you for mercy, and I've received it. Isn't that a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? God looks down upon these sinful fallen creatures, and in mercy, God sees us in our affliction and sends His Son to get us out of this mess, save us from our sin. And we look unto Him. He says, look unto me. I'm God. There's none else. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, even a little Egyptian maid. Look unto me, and be ye saved. And because the Lord hath heard my affliction, He sent His Son, and now I'm saved. Wherefore, verse 14, the well was called. This well, see, she was in a well, wasn't she? The well of him that liveth and seeth me. I mispronounced Be'er Lahor. Be'er Lahor. Can you do it? It's tough. But I can say this, the well of him that liveth and seeth. He that liveth forever and seeth me. Christ said, I live. I'm the well. Because I live, you shall live also. And in me, everyone that believeth and seeth the Son, everyone that seeth him and believeth on him shall have everlasting life. Well of water. It's all a picture of Christ. It's all such a beautiful picture. Verse 15 and closing, and 16. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare. Now see, he didn't ask her. Where did he come up with his name? He called his name Ishmael. Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And all we like Ishmael. We're sons of fallen women, aren't we? Sons of sin. Sons of sinners. We're sinners. Ishmael turned out to be a wild man. A wild ass's colt. That's us, isn't it? By nature, children of wrath, even as others, we turn out just like that. And listen to this. All we, like Ishmael, could say this. We could say this, like David. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me, has saved me. This woman and her child didn't bear paying attention to it. But God pays attention to lowly sinners, doesn't he? He comes in person and appears to them. Fear not. Return. All right, Joe. You got a message in song? What number did you pick out? 235. Is that right?
Remember, 6 o'clock service tonight.